Well, good morning to everyone. It is certainly a beautiful Lord's Day morning, early autumn morning, with temperatures being just near perfect out there, I think, for everybody to be comfortable and to enjoy the day, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one, our members and our regular crowd, and we have visitors with us, and we want to extend our warmest welcome to you. We have Colton Adams with us, and many of y'all know him from here in the community, and sure is good to have him, and just want you to know that we appreciate your interest in desiring things of a spiritual nature. We all are saddened this week by the losses that have been suffered, both in our church family and in our communities. There's been much death and despair. Those things are things that saddens our hearts. We lost a young lady, 22 years old, this week. Lost our neighbor Steve Head this week. Lost a friend of ours that done the pictures in our wedding, Debbie Hines, this week. Lost our dear sister Nina this week, and she'll certainly be missed. We've talked a lot over the last few years about the little things, and I just wanted to share something with you. When Pat contacted us this morning to let us know why she wasn't here, because her daughter has been diagnosed with the COVID. She was fine Monday, but Tuesday she tested positive. I think where she works, they're testing them really frequently, and she tested positive, so that's why Pat opted not to come out. But she was sharing with us that when she had her hip surgery, that she got an envelope in the mail, and it had $20 in it, and it was for her to purchase some snacks or things that she might like while she was down with her hip. And you know who sent that? Nina did. And I thought about the little things that Nina did always to encourage people. What a inspiration that she was, in whatever way that she could be. That's truly going to be missed. I'll share with you something that Kenny and David shared with me last night as I stood at Nina's casket. They said whenever 150 was being constructed down there to make it what it is today, she was going frequently, that means daily, over to the nursing home because her husband was in the nursing home. And the ladies who were doing the flagging down there for the road construction, Nina got to where she would stop and she would interact with them while she was waiting for her turn to go. Well, she started taking little oatmeal, no-bake cookies and different types of snacks and cookies. And when she would pull up there, those ladies got to where they knew that they were going to receive a little snack or a little treat from Sister Nina. And you think about that. You think about the fact that she thought of that and thought that would be a nice gesture. She didn't know these ladies until she met them out there standing on the road. And you think about the simplicity of that, but you think about the good that it done and how that those ladies bragged on her, and they were so impressed by her generosity, by her willingness to go out of her way to just do that kind little gesture. You know, they were standing out there, I'm sure, in the weather and the elements, and for them to get that little treat meant something special to them. And Nina had the heart to do that, to think of that. You know, just make application of that when you consider situations like that, just like Nina did. We could all do those little things, couldn't we? And somebody is going to take notice. Somebody is going to recognize the fact that you have that kind and giving and loving heart, and that you're willing to do that little gesture that you can do to make their day a little better, a little brighter. And again, we'll truly miss that from Sister Nina, because she was that person. She was fun-loving and just loved a life, and we'll miss that. And our hearts go out to her sisters today, as I know it's a tough day for them. Those are sad things that have transpired in this last week. On a brighter note, we welcome in a new little fella to our church family, Noah Chad Caldwell. We're so proud and so happy of that. And we see this picture here. I just almost cried when I saw that picture right there. When you think about brotherly love and how that we're supposed to feel, can you tell the excitement that he has in his face there and the happiness that he has to see his new little brother come home? You can see, as Andy talked about this morning, the humility and the love and the compassion that he has there. And we have reason this week to rejoice that has transpired, and there's been a new life brought into this world. And as we said before, the cycle of life, it happens, don't it? Nina's days were fulfilled there Thursday evening, I believe it was. And then a new life came into existence Tuesday, I believe it was. And so it is, and we know that our time upon this earth is short. At best, it's a short span in comparison to eternity, but we're so happy. We're so happy for the Caldwell family, and I can see by the glowing faces back there that they're happy and excited as well, and rightfully so. Also, on a positive note and a happy note, as we mentioned the other day, Isaac and Savannah have announced their engagement, that they're going to be married some future day. I know that probably hasn't been set yet, but it is rejoiceful that they have made the decision to do that, and we're happy for them and that process that they've chosen to do, and wish them nothing but the best. So there is, along with the sad things that are going on around us, along with the death and the dying, there are things that can bring us a lot of happiness even in this life. And we can rejoice in the fact of those who have passed on from this life that we know, like Sister Nina, that were prepared. We can rejoice in that fact and be happy in that as well, because she lived a good long life and had a lot of good things in her life. So we're thankful for that. Getting into the lesson this morning, I had asked Pat to sing the song Free Waters for the invitation song, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning for the time that we have, is Free Waters and how much that should mean to you and I as Christians. I'm going to use a lot of illustrations from the Bible because the Bible, it reminds us constantly throughout it how much life that there is in water. Now, we can make a comparison and a parallel to that because we know that we would cease to exist upon planet Earth without some H2O, wouldn't we? We wouldn't live here very long if we went into a drought where there was no water. And you know, it's amazing to me, and we've talked about some, how that God, in His wisdom and His ability and His majesty, how that He was able to give divine order to everything, and how that He give divine order to the earth to put forth springs of water. Water that is pure and clear and clean and good for human consumption, so that we might be able to sustain life while we're here upon this earth. And most all of us know the value of a good cold drink of water, don't we? Whenever we're thirsty, whenever it's hot, you know, we understand the value of it. Corey noticed that Allie certainly does. She came in with a water bottle this morning that was as big as she is. So she knows the value of water. Aniston there, she's on this health kick, and she's trying to drink 64 ounces of water a day, and I think she's accomplished that, and trying to stay off of soda pops and things of that nature. And we encourage that. And we know that it does make you feel better to consume a lot of water. A lot of people have problems doing that. But we know there are benefits from that, don't we? From that water that we drink. And I can't help but think that God, again, when He set things into order and gave us that water to sustain this life, to produce the food that we consume and to produce the livestock and the meat that we consume over the course of a lifetime, He knew that we would have to have that water to sustain that, didn't He? Well, when you think about that and bring that over to spiritual things, I want us to get our minds going in that direction. You know, these physical bodies, according to the research that I was able to do, are about 60 to 75% made up of water. And that's why it is so important for us to ingest or consume a lot of water to keep our hydration where it needs to be, so that we feel good and our bodies stay hydrated instead of being dehydrated, as sometimes happens to people in their elder years, and sometimes kids become dehydrated and then they don't feel good. But H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biology Chemistry, says that our bodies are 60 to 75% made up of water. The brain and heart are 73% water. The lungs are about 83% water. The skin is about 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are about 79% water, and even our bones are composed of about 31% of water. So we understand that God, again, in His divine wisdom and His intellect, created these bodies to where we have to consume a certain amount of water. And I want to focus on that song that I'd requested that Pat sang for us, and I want us to think about as we thirst for physical water, as we thirst for water that hydrates our body, and when we're working or playing sports or whatever, and we get so thirsty that we would just about do anything for a drink of water, I want us to think about that thirst and compare to the scripture there close to where we were studying this morning that says, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall receive the kingdom of heaven," or inherit the kingdom of heaven. Do we truly understand that concept in comparison to having a desire for spiritual hydration, if you will, to spiritual fulfillment, to quenching of that thirst, to where we want to consume that for our spiritual well-being? Again, a lot of us are conscientious of that when it comes to our physical bodies and realize that it's important that we drink a lot of water. The Mayo Clinic says an adult male needs about 3.7 liters of water a day, and an adult female needs about 2.7. Very few people, if you ask them, would say that they consume that much water a day, would they? But you might feel better if you did. And, of course, we take in hydration through coffee and tea and soda pops and Gatorade and all these other things that's largely made up of water. So if you had it all added up, we might be a little closer than we think. But the point is we need that to sustain this physical body, for us to be healthy and for us to feel good and for our bodies to function the way that they should. We need that. And we understand that. And I think we can relate to that to the point that we might even try to accomplish that. But when it comes to our spiritual well-being and the water that we need, which Christ provided and God's Word provided, and which is revealed through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, do we have the same zeal, do we have the same desire for our spiritual well-being to be healthy as we do, say, maybe our physical well-being? And if we do, then we'll be seeking that out of God's Word, and we'll understand that, as the song indicates. As you go through that song, it indicates that what you need as a sinner is you need what God has so abundantly supplied through His Word. And again, and when I think about the abundance of water that we have to sustain life here upon planet Earth, and I think about the abundance of the spiritual water which is provided through the Word of God that we can apprehend and acquire if we'll just do it, there's a very, very similar likeness there, isn't there? Because it's there. Jesus Christ said, "I came to give life and to give it more abundantly." And what He meant by that was to give you spirituality, to give you spiritual life. It's a longing or a yearning to have that inner peace that we have as Christians, because we understand that we're in good standing with God, and if our life ends here upon this earth, we're going on to better things, just like Sister Nina has done. It's an understanding of that. So many times in this life, what happens to men, I've been guilty of it, maybe I'm still sometimes, is we're seeking something to give us inner satisfaction, to give us inner peace, and we can't just exactly put it on our finger on it of what it is that we're seeking. We can't really just exactly put our finger on it and say, you know, this is what I need. So we might fill up our days with accumulating earthly wealth or possessions or whatever it be, vehicles or land, tractors, cattle, whatever it might be. We might fill up our days with those things, and then we get along way along in life and we say, well, you know, I still seems like there's something missing in my life. It seems like I'm not being satisfied. That thirst that I have, that hunger that I have, has not been satisfied. And the reason being is because we never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I find so many people that are in that condition, that wrestle with those things, and they wrestle with what is it that brings me happiness, satisfaction, peace of mind to where I can live life and be satisfied with that life that I'm living and be happy in it. Because if you're not including God in that life, if God's not a part of that life, if spirituality's not a part of that life, you recognize whenever you go to a funeral visitation that someday that day's coming to me, and what then? And that causes you not to have that peace and that satisfaction that you can only receive through the water, the living water, which Jesus Christ provides for us in His Word. In Revelation 7:17, it says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall lead them into living fountains of water." You know, I want to make a valid point here. We serve a living God, don't we? We serve a living and alive God. Some people, again, we talked about this morning, it's very easy for people who I talk to who don't want to accept the Bible, and I point out Bible verses to them, they'll say, you know, I'm just going to X Robbie out. There's a term called, we live in a cancel culture. In other words, if I don't agree with what you have to say, I'll just cancel you out. I'll just X you out, and you don't matter anymore, and I can go on, and I can go here to this fellow that will tell me that I can live in the sin that I'm living in, and it'll be righteousness in the sight of God, and I won't have to waller that around in my mind. And we live in a culture where people like to do that. And I've been X'd out by people as close to me as my physical brothers, and I can tell it when they do it. They don't make no bones about it. When I try to tell them what the Word of God says, they'll just X me out. In other words, it don't matter what the Word of God says, Robin. It sure don't matter what you say. This is what I'm going to do. And if they were standing here today, they would tell you that. But that doesn't change what is revealed in the Word of God, and that doesn't change where the living water that you and I receive comes from, and that is through the throne of God and through His blessed Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us forgiveness of our sins. So these fountains that are living fountains, they provide life. They provide us with spiritual life. Without them, we are going to dehydrate. We are going to die without them. So for us to come together and worship God and the way that we are here this morning to serve God as He has instructed us in His Word, without that, you will, in time, die spiritually because you're not receiving that living water that has been provided for you through God's Word. It ain't got nothing to do with me or who's up here. It's the living Word of God that's going to give you that life that God wants you to have. We have to have that as His people. Stanza 1 of that song calls us to the fountain free. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Something about something being free that don't entice a lot of people in this old world. Do you know it? David Alford, who has preached here before and who is a gospel preacher, he told us one time that he was raising some border collies and he lived in Lexington, Kentucky. And he was just doing it because he enjoyed doing it, but they were purebred border collie puppies. And he put them in the paper, free border collie, purebred border collie puppies. And he had about 8 of them, and it went on about a week or 10 days and nobody had called about any of them. And a guy at work told him, Lowell Atwood told him, he said, what you need to do is put them in there like for $200 a piece, because some people don't put any value on something unless it costs them something. And that's the point I'm trying to make about this free water this morning. So he put those puppies in there, $200 a piece, and within 5 days, every one of them was gone and sold for $200 a piece out of the same paper that they were in there for free for. But because people's mentality thinking was, well, if they're free, they must not be no good. They must not be any count. They must just be Heinz 47 or 49 dogs. It's misbred or whatever, you know. They must not be any good. But when he put them in there for $200 a piece, oh, I want one of those. I've got to have one of those. And unfortunately, sometimes people think that way about what God provides for us freely, what Jesus Christ provided for us freely there on Calvary's cross, is if it don't cost me anything from a monetary standpoint, it must not be worth anything. That's sad that men have that line of thinking, isn't it? You know, over in Zechariah 13, verse 1, it was prophesied that a fountain would be opened for sin. And it says there that this fountain that's going to come is going to be something that would cleanse you from sin. It would be pure and it would cleanse you from unrighteousness and from sin. And he was referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also in Mark 16:15, which most of y'all could quote, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or accursed." So what he was talking about there was Jesus Christ. And whenever you receive that gospel, you start receiving the fount of water that he provides for you that causes you not to thirst, not causes you not to be longing for something that's missing in your life because you've got it. You've got Jesus Christ in your life. And as long as you keep him in your life and you approach that fount of blessings that he offers unto you through his word, through coming and worshiping God, through Bible study, through being a witness or someone who talks to someone else, by doing those little things that God has instructed us to do that we might lead others to Christ, then we're receiving those blessings. And just think of all the life that comes out of those blessings from a spiritual standpoint. When we think about all the life that is given by water when it comes to our physical surroundings, when it comes to the things around us, the trees, the plants, the crops, and all those things, and then think about what we get spiritually whenever we approach this fount that God has provided for us and given unto us, just think about all that is gained there in the way of life. In the way of being able to do God's will and to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish while here upon this earth. And again, without it, we're going to perish. Revelation 22:17, therefore we should haste because he bids us freely drink. I remember when I played basketball, and I remember when our daughters played sports, and now our grandchildren are playing sports, and they'd get out there and play for a while, and they'd get really thirsty. And the fastest they might move was whenever it was their opportunity to go to the water jug and get a drink. They hasted to the water jug or to the Gatorade jug because why? They were thirsty. They were desiring that which would quench that thirst. And it might just take a few ounces, 3 or 4 ounces or whatever to quench that thirst, but they hasted to it. And again, I ask you, do we ever feel that way about the thirst that we should have from a spiritual standpoint about the things that God has given to us through the water of life, which we now have and can receive? Do we feel that same way? Do we have that desire? Stanza 2 of that song calls us to the living stream. Again, I like that. It's a living stream. There's a living stream with the crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. So much life in water, isn't there? And he uses that illustration as a parallel to spirituality. Where do we get that life from? It's through his word. It's through studying, meditating upon his word. That's where we get that from. And we want that, don't we? We should as Christians. If we don't, we need to ask ourselves the question, why am I not thirsting and hungering after righteousness? Why am I not hungry and thirsty for the things which have been revealed in God's word? Do I ever get to a point to where I don't have to have that in my life, to where I can just say, well, you know, I think I know everything there is to know about the Bible, and I don't think I'm going to study the Bible this week, today, tomorrow, or this week, or maybe this month. I'll go to church and I'll fill my spot there, but I don't really think I have to be thirsty or hungry for that righteousness. I don't think I have to have a strong desire to apprehend that and to gain the knowledge which has been presented by Bible studies such as we had this morning. Do we look at it that way? Well, how long can you go without a drink of water? How long can you go without something to drink? Do you go 3 or 4 days at a time without that? I don't think so. I think if you don't have any water or hydration, about 4 days will usually get you. That's about how long it usually takes you. In extreme cases, someone may have survived longer than that. But the point is, when we think about the comparison of physical hydration, physical water versus the spiritual water, which we can receive through the Word of God, what is the comparison? How much do we desire that? How much do we long for that? How much do we thirst for that? maybe there's times, just like the athletes and the person working out in the hot hay field or whatever, that we might have a stronger desire because we've exerted ourselves and we know that we need that, but then maybe there's times that we're lackadaisical about that and we don't really desire it like we should. We're not going to be healthy spiritually if we don't. Just like we're not going to be healthy physically if we don't take in some hydration. Revelations 22:1-2, the fountain is pictured as flowing from a living stream that in turns comes from the throne of life in heaven. Folks, it don't matter where you and I are up on this planet Earth or whether we're in heaven, the source of our life comes through Jesus Christ. And I think that's what's revealed there in Revelation. The source of our spiritual well-being comes through Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that, is my mic on this morning? Couldn't tell if it was not. If we don't have that, we're going to become spiritually dehydrated, if you will. And we're not going to be doing and feeling as good as we would like to spiritually. So again, I just as we move towards the invitation song in a few minutes, I just want you to think about that life that it's talking about there and that free water that has been offered for us. Also in John 37 and 38, these waters roll for the benefit of the weary soul. Let's turn over there to that scripture and read that. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, where it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So when we take in that, when we ingest that which God offers us spiritually through Jesus Christ, He says what's going to come out of us is we're actually going to be spilling out water to other people and those that we come in contact with. We're actually going to be a life source to those that we come in contact with, just like Sister Nina was a life source to those ladies standing down on the highway flagging for the construction crew. Just like when people go and send cards to people like Doris Lawrence in the hospital, we're being a life source. Why? Because we've received the life source, which is Jesus Christ, and we want to mimic that, we want to duplicate that, and we want to be a life source to those that we come in contact with. And that's what Jesus says here. Whenever you receive that which I provided, you won't be able to help but be in a living well to someone that you come in contact with. Isn't that great stuff? Isn't that exciting to know that you can be that to someone that you come in contact with? That you can be an influence to someone that you come in contact with? So again, where that living stream comes from is through Jesus Christ. It's not going to change even when we depart from this life, according to Revelations. That's where we're going to receive our life, isn't it? And again, in Matthew chapter 11, 28-30, says, "However, to partake of them, we must hear the call that forth freely goes to come to Christ." And the song says that, don't it? That call that forth freely goes, we must receive that. We must accept that. So many people, unfortunately, choose not to accept that. It's like they're standing at a fountain of cool, fresh spring water, and they're dying of thirst, and they say, "No, I don't think I'll have any. No, thank you." But if it was actually a physical situation, I think they would jump all over it and be glad to get it. But because it's spiritual water, something that Jesus Christ has provided for them, they push back from it. They don't want it. In Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Jesus suggested. That's what He put out for people, wasn't it? This is what I want from you, and this is what you can get from me. Stanza 3 calls us to the living well. Bible talks about wells a lot, doesn't it? There's a living well and its waters swell in eternal life they can give. And we joyful sing every spring, O spring, as we haste to drink and to live. Do we understand the benefits of going to that well that Jesus Christ provides for us? You know, in the illustration there in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, I'm not going to read all that due to the lack of time, but in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, beginning in 1 and verse 14, the example that's given there, as many of us already know, is the example of where Jesus went to the well, and this Samaritan woman comes there to draw water that she might drink. And Jesus is, he uses this, like he always did, as an opportunity or an occasion that he might teach this Samaritan woman. And we might just drop down and read about verse 7. It says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest the drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Listen to what Jesus says to her. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee," what? "Living water." "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She had a desire. And you know, the Jews looked down on Samaritans as if they were impure, they were unclean, they really didn't usually want to have much association with them. The example that Jesus is setting here is he wasn't going to discriminate towards her because of who she was. And he said, What I come to offer is something special. It's something like you've never seen before. It's something like you've never had ingested into your body before, because it is that living water. It is what provides life. It is what gives life. It is an everlasting spring that springeth forth that I give unto you. You know, in chapter 3 prior to this, there was a man named Nicodemus who, he was a religious man, and he knew the law, and he was probably well educated in the law, and his attitude towards Jesus was almost, "Well, I don't know if I want anything that you've got to offer or not." But he did approach Jesus there in the beginning of chapter 3, and I just want to make this parallel here. It didn't matter to Jesus whether it was Nicodemus, who was educated in the law and educated in a lot of things probably, or whether it was a Samaritan woman who probably was very limited in her education and her ability. Jesus gave each one of them the same messages, and that's what is required, is to repent of your sins, and you can become a child of God, and you can have what that living stream, what that living water provides for you. And again, we need to be careful about that ourselves, don't we? We need to understand that all one has to do to receive this living water that we're talking about this morning is they have to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. They have to accept His plan of salvation, and they can become a child of His. And again, we might look at somebody like Jesus could have looked at the Samaritan woman and said, "They're not fit. They're not worthy." We have been guilty of doing that as Christians. Are we letting the living water proceed out of us so that we might help lead someone to Christ, and we're not discriminating against anybody? It's very easy for us to say, "Oh, that guy down the road, he's a drug addict," or "That guy down the road, he's a bootlegger," or "That guy down the road, he's a thief, and I'm not going to waste my time on him because I don't think it would do any good." It's very easy for us, but Jesus gave the same message to those who were somebody in that day, society and culture, and to those who weren't nobody. And he felt the same way about them. He wanted them to repent, and he wanted them to have what he came to provide, and that was eternal salvation. So Nicodemus, he kind of responded slowly and rationally to Jesus, and this Samaritan woman, she kind of responded quickly and emotionally. But either way, there was a response. And either way, the end result was the same, and that they accepted what Jesus Christ came to give. So again, that's a message to you and I, isn't it? What are we doing? And again, wells were used throughout the Bible as an illustration that people had to have that water, didn't they? Isaiah 12:3, when we understand this, we will be joyful and we will haste to drink that we might live. You know, Isaiah said there again, he prophesied of one that was coming that would provide this living water, this water that we have through the throne of God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. The fourth stanza calls us to the rock that's a cleft. That's a rock, I'll get it out in a minute. There's a rock that's cleft and no soul is left that may not his pure water share. It is for you and me in his stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. The means by which these waters in the well come to us are through a rock that is cleft, as God provided water in the wilderness for his people of Israel. Again, I'm not going to go there. We all know the story. He provided the water that they needed when they were murmuring, complaining about things. He gave them abundance, didn't he? He wanted to let them know that you don't need to question me. Who you need to question is yourself. We ever need to do that? This same rock is available for you and me because that rock was Christ, and that's revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Let's turn there and read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, where it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? It was Jesus Christ. So again, there was a looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ in the illustration there, that he gave them the water which they needed to sustain themselves physically, and now they've got the water which they need to sustain themselves spiritually. Do you and I understand that today? Do we get the gist of that? Do we understand the importance of that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee, because behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have it given unto us, don't we? The chorus continues to admonish the sinner to come and receive the blessings of this great fountain. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. And that's what I'm going to leave you with to think about this morning. If you're here and you've never accepted what's been provided through that fountain, through that which is poured out to us through Jesus Christ and that great sacrifice that he made, we're going to give you opportunity to do that. There's a simple plan of salvation. That is, one must hear, one must believe, and these are biblical examples on each one of those. And I don't want to take too much time. You can read those and look at it in the scriptures. There are biblical examples of how these people accepted what Jesus Christ had given, and they repented. 1 Peter 2:24, he died so that we might die to sin and live under righteousness. That's what we're trying to do as Christians, isn't it? We've seen in our Bible study this morning, we might want to just X out anything to do with righteousness and the fact that we get accused sometimes as a church of Christ of people who earn our salvation or try to work on our salvation to the point that we're deserving of it. But the Bible told us this morning that we have a responsibility, we have an accountability to God to try to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Y'all remember that point? So when somebody wants to be dogmatic and be judgmental or condemning of the fact that you're trying to walk within the means of the Scriptures instead of just doing anything, and you calling what God calls righteousness instead of calling God's righteousness, you can bring that point out to them, can't you? And again, the centurion there in Mark chapter 15 and 39, he made that good confession. So we have to do that if we want to accept Jesus Christ. And then we have to be willing to be buried in that water grave of baptism over in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. I'll turn there and read that, and then we'll sing the invitation song. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We can take great comfort, we can take great peace to know that we're receiving the spiritual blessings that have been provided through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never taken advantage of that, we'd like to give you the opportunity to do that together as we stand and as we sing.